You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
We made it to a Friday, a meat Friday at that. Tell you what's coming off the Traeger, coming up a little bit. Phone calls are always welcome. Emails, tweets. Say good morning to our radio partner, Fox Sports Radio, and of course, iHeartRadio. TV partner is Peacock, all 3 hours, streaming live. You can download the app and watch for free. Got a poll question, play of the day, stat of the day. We had some drama yesterday when Adam Schefter joined us. We'll talk about that conversation that I had with him. Also, if I said to you a week ago at this time, you had to make a bet, is Aaron Rodgers going to be the starting quarterback for the Packers this upcoming season? You probably would have said, no, he's not. We had reporters. We had Rob Domofsky, been covering the team for a couple of decades. He said 5%. 5% chance. You know, the Broncos were in the mix. The Raiders in the mix. The Niners attempted to make a trade for Aaron Rodgers. The Rams inquired about Aaron Rodgers. This was a poorly kept secret. And the Rams back in January inquired after the NFC title game, from what I'm told. And then yesterday, Adam Schefter, because I just wanted information. All I wanted was, how did we get to this point? Because if you said to me today, but then I've been in the minority, who is the starting quarterback for the Packers opening weekend this year, I would still say Aaron Rodgers. Because things are quiet. Remember what happened with Russell Wilson and the Seahawks? Russ comes on the show. He's got something to say. Few things after that. Then you had sources saying, Russ is saying this. He wants out. Here are the teams. His agent gave us the teams he could get traded to. Seattle eventually got around to talking about this. Everything's calmed down, right? Russ is going to be in Seattle this year. I don't know if you can smooth things over with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, but I will say this. The quietness speaks volumes. Both sides right now. Now, the media hasn't stopped because we're still looking for breadcrumbs here. Like anything. But do I think Aaron Rodgers, if you said you got a bet, I would say Aaron Rodgers is still the starting quarterback for the Packers this upcoming season. Now, last Friday, if you ask, I think I might have said at the time, I just don't see him being traded. That doesn't mean he can't be, won't be, but I know that both sides realize this is how you win a championship. And maybe the Packers have to, you know, walk back some things that they've done or said. And then maybe Rodgers has to do that. But, you know, Adam Schefter, I think, mischaracterized what he had a week ago Thursday. This was a collection of information there. This wasn't a breaking news story, but it was portrayed that way. Therefore, we all went into the draft going, Packers could trade Aaron Rodgers tonight. And then we started watching teams. Well, Carolina didn't take a quarterback. Denver didn't take a quarterback. Well, the Bears are trading up for a quarterback. Then we started to speculate, okay, well, maybe you had to get certain draft players for the Packers to go. If you get Patrick Surtain and you give us 3 first-round picks, then you got our interest here. You got our attention. But it was framed as huge breaking news. It was on the bottom line. And I'm watching NFL Live when Schefter came on. And he was reading off his phone. And I thought, this is breaking news. Well, it wasn't breaking news from the standpoint of, if this is an accumulation of information, this wasn't breaking news. And I think if you're going to summarize the offseason, which Adam was doing, then it wasn't characterized that way. Therefore, I think we thought something was truly happening in the moment. Here's Adam Schefter, where he discusses the Aaron Rodgers report. And I ask him, did you choose to drop the Aaron Rodgers news on draft night?
That is absolutely accurate. Correct.
But it wasn't something that you got information about.
No.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No, it was nothing that morning that came in.
Okay.
All of a sudden said to me, yeah, he wants out. You should report this. Like, it was going on all off season. You just keep hearing it. And there was more and more talk. And now there's starting to be Aaron Rodgers talking. I said, you know what? this isn't going to wait much longer. Let's just go. It just happened to be drafted.
Because I wondered when you said it didn't come from Rodgers, didn't come from the Packers, and it's being characterized differently. I was wondering, okay, you're not going to tell me your source. You know, what was the motive behind that? Yeah.
Dan, there's not a source.
No, no, I know, but I know that now, but we're just finding this out right now.
I said it on NFL Live. I said it on my podcast. I said it, you know, I mean, I don't know. People want to believe whatever they want to believe. It was just an accumulation of information throughout the course of the entire offseason.
The tweet and the headline were a little bit more inflammatory. But, you know, was this premeditated? Did he have information? You know, speaking with Adam after the show, off the record, we found out, you know, that he wasn't going to Cleveland thinking that he's reporting Aaron Rodgers is going to be traded. But I think once the Niners story got out, then I think he decided that the time was right. Now, it just wasn't a breaking news story that he had new information, because he said it was an accumulation of information in the offseason. And as fans, and look, I'm in the business, obviously, and I know how these stories are vetted at ESPN. If Adam is going to break something, it has to go through the assignment desk. They have to know, they have to be ready. And you know, that's how you cover a story. Whenever we would break a story, you had to go through the assignment desk. And there were times when I would have a story and they'd say, we need another source on this. And then we wouldn't run that story. But Adam has built up that cachet, house credit, where he could probably just say, look, this is what I'm hearing, and they sign off on it. But they don't want to be blindsided. But I think just trying to understand, you got this information. When did you decide that you needed or you had enough to break this story? So 3 p.m. on draft day, and that's what I was curious about. What was the new information? And you have, you know, the entire NFL media is there. This is an off-season Super Bowl for the NFL media. But that's all I was asking for yesterday was clarity. Give me the backstory here. Was Adam thinking he was going to be scooped on the biggest story of the year if Aaron Rodgers was going to be traded, wanted out of Green Bay? I think we just talked about how I questioned the timing of it and how it was framed. I don't question Adam and his abilities. He's the best at doing this. But I just wanted to know. That's what I was trying to figure out. I was trying to figure out what is the backstory and can he help clarify that? And that's all that was yesterday. But I think what we were trying to figure out in the moment, and as we went along, because he said, look, that didn't come from Aaron Rodgers, and it didn't come from the Packers. So that's what I was trying to figure out here. But I don't know where we are today. Right now, Friday morning, I feel like I know less than I did a week ago. Because I still feel that Aaron Rodgers is going to be the Packers starting quarterback. But nobody's talking. And I've been in this business long enough to know when it's quiet, things are happening. Now, that might be, hey, let's not put it out there. We'll do it internally. We'll do it professionally. And if you don't want to be here, then we'll send you on your way. Like, it could be happening that way. I just get the feeling that this has, you know, maybe there's a little more negotiation talking going on behind the scenes. And maybe it's not Rodgers and the Packers. Maybe it's his agent who's talking to the Packers. But the Packers know you want to win a Super Bowl in the next 2 years. This is the best way to go about it. And Aaron Rodgers knows if he goes to Denver, he's not winning a Super Bowl. Not anytime soon. You're not even the best team in your own division if he went to Denver. But understand how this kind of explodes, metastasize. Because all of a sudden, if you're a Bears fan, a Lions fan, a Vikings fan, and Aaron Rodgers may be out of the conference, out of the division, imagine if you're a Denver fan. So this is how everybody jumped in on it, because it affected the entire NFL. Everybody's thinking, wow, who could get Rodgers? What do you have to give up to get Rodgers? Hey, we don't have to face Rodgers twice a year. Like, everybody's has some stake in this. All of a sudden, you start to go, gosh, if he goes to Denver, what's that mean? You know, could he do what Peyton Manning did? Do they have enough talent there? You know, are the Raiders involved in this? What's that mean for David Carr, Derek Carr? Like, those were the things that we're processing here in the moment. I just think it was framed incorrectly. That's all. And then it exploded. And look, I think we wish for stories like this. You want breaking news. You want trades. We want action. This was going to be like, wow, this is an incredible draft. All this talent, all these quarterbacks, the Niners are going up. Who are they taking? Aaron Rodgers is going to be traded. And we had all those other things. We just didn't have Aaron Rodgers traded. But if something's going to happen, it's not going to happen in the next 2 weeks, next 3 weeks. It'll probably be less than a month from now. We're going to find out. Plus, here's another thing. We haven't seen Jordan Love be the number one quarterback, play in a game. If all of a sudden Green Bay realizes, hey, we got something here, or, you know, we put him into live action, he played pretty well. You know, that's a different twist to this. Yeah, Paulie.
It doesn't even compare to, like, Garoppolo with Tom Brady. They took Garoppolo, and he actually got in three ball games and played well when Brady was suspended. There was at least a little bit of a check of what this guy's about. And in those short stint, he looked fantastic.
And that's why the Niners wanted to make that trade, because they at least had a sample size. Nobody has any sample size with Jordan Love other than what he did at Utah State. And that's not enough to make a deal. This program brought to you by M-Drive. MDriveDan.com. Get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Refind your prime with M-Drive. It was an interesting show yesterday. Certainly interesting after the show. Social media, they wanted answers. So did I. And there are still things that I haven't had answered yet. I have questions about all of this. And look, I said to Paulie, if Adam wants to clarify anything, you know, he's more than welcome to join us. And I have great respect for him. I just think the way this was framed wasn't fair to the story. Because if you have no new information, then it's not breaking news. But if you have information and you say this is from league sources and the team, but then you say the information is not from the team or Rodgers, that's where I had a disconnect. I was trying to figure that out. Yes, Bowling.
It's really fascinating watching social media yesterday of how people in both Green Bay and the entire state of Wisconsin are dealing with this, because the past week, a lot of sentiment has gone against Aaron Rodgers as a source of a story or being a malcontent or whatever it may be. They put a video up with him at a baseball game and people are booing. Yeah. I wonder if people will kind of like backtrack on that. Hardcore Packers fans.
I just want to be fair to the story. As much as you like the action, the possibility, what if he's traded? What's that mean for Jordan Love? What's that mean for this team? What's that mean for the AFC? Like, there's so many things attached to it. But as much as you can have wishful reporting, I have to have legitimate reporting and just ask the questions and try to find answers here. Yeah, McClellan.
The funny thing is, next week is a scheduled release. If Aaron Rodgers isn't a Packer or a Raider, a Bronco or a Raider, can you imagine how boring those teams are going to look now? Like, oh, the Broncos without Aaron Rodgers, they might as well not have a season.
That changes the entire TV lineup. If, let's say, Aaron Rodgers got traded to the Broncos, then, you know, they're going to be featured more often Sunday Night Football or Monday Night Football, Thursday night. You're like, you're going to want to showcase those things. Yeah, Paul.
I saw an article a few years ago about scheduling, and it's so nuanced that, let's say, the Chicago Bears are not an exciting team nationally, but now they have just Fields as a possible quarterback. They would look at Fields and the Bears and say, we'll schedule them in early December because maybe by then he's a starting quarterback. Yeah. No offense to Andy Dalton, but they're not going to put Andy Dalton on Monday Night Football in September. They look at it that nuanced.
They don't schedule around backup quarterbacks. Why would they consider Fields?
Wow.
Yeah. By the way, there have been reports of the Packers making Aaron Rodgers the highest paid quarterback in the league. And there was one with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I think The Athletic had some information on that. Going back to just a couple of days ago, you know, from May 5th, The Athletic had a report on Aaron Rodgers with a contract offer. And I don't know what they're offering. You know, are they going to give him a three-year deal and he's going to make $50 million a year? It's guaranteed. I don't know if we have numbers. You also have speculation on what the Packers would want in return for Aaron Rodgers. So that doesn't mean that they're actually actively seeking this, but, you know, you start to get a report or speculation or, hey, I'm thinking this is what it would take. And then you start to look at, well, wait, look at what the Bears offered Seattle for Russell Wilson. Well, that's what the Packers are probably going to want to ask for in return. I'm not even there yet. Until I know the Packers are actively trying to trade him, I'll treat this the same way with Seattle and Russell Wilson. Because Seattle wasn't trading Russ. And until I hear that Green Bay says, we throw our arms up, we can't do anything with this, this is at an impasse, we have to trade him, then we'll react accordingly. But I'm still in the minority here. I think Aaron Rodgers is still your quarterback. Yes, McLovin.
You know, I'm sorry, this is so unfair, but it's fun to speculate about which teams would call. If you take the Russell Wilson teams and the Deshaun Watson teams, did you say the Dolphins called?
Yes.
Or somebody, I'm sorry, it was reported the Dolphins. Wouldn't they call for Aaron Rodgers? At least make that call as a general manager. Why not?
Well, the Dolphins had made an inquiry about Deshaun Watson, and the Dolphins made an inquiry with Russell Wilson, from what I was told.
Do they pick up the phone?
I guess you do. I mean, why not? I mean, do the Packers not have caller ID? And then they'll go, who's calling? I'm going to pick it up. Well, here's a 305 number. But oh, it's the Dolphins. Yes, Paul.
I do love the semantics and posturing of general managers. We accepted phone calls. We did not engage in any discussions. Yeah. We were offered this. We did not offer anything. It's all semantics with GMs. You can't say you shopped a player. You could say you accepted calls, and there was no interest on either side.
Also, it's been reported that Rodgers, aside from the long-term commitment to him, said that he turned down this offer to be the highest paid quarterback if it was going to be in Green Bay. I don't know where we stand today. Truly don't. And I don't have information from either side. I don't have a source on either side other than somebody who told me 6 weeks ago about that didn't think that Rodgers was going to be in Green Bay after this upcoming season. That's the only information I have as an insider. Don't have anything left. Yes, Eden.
Could that be the kind of thing with the contract situation where the money is big, but the year commitment is off?
Could be. It could be we're going to give you a two-year deal.
Yeah, 2 years, blah, 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 million, but he wants three.
I'm guessing if I'm Rodgers, I want to take away the whole tenure of Jordan Love as a Green Bay Packer just so they admit you guys made a mistake. Don't bet against me.
Oh, so we have spite seasons coming up. He'll tack on two seasons out of spite.
I don't have any information on it other than trying to understand the personalities here. I don't know the Packers' personality, but I'm aware of Aaron Rodgers' personality. Yes, McLovin.
You were right from day one. They should have traded Jordan Love for a third-round pick and been done with this.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Poor Jordan Love. Look at the shoes he has to fill now for whatever he does play.
But here's the Packers. Do you admit you made the mistake?
Yes.
Now, if this is a new GM, you could go in there and go, hey, I don't know what you guys were thinking, but Jordan, we have some nice parting gifts. You're welcome back. We're going to send you. We're going to send you someplace. But you know what happened when the Jets got a new GM, a new coach? They got rid of Sam Darnold. They're like, oh, Sam, see ya. And Sam is more decorated than Jordan Love. Yes, Eden.
If I'm the Packers, I'm like, we didn't make a mistake. We took who we thought was the best player in the draft, but we've worked everything out with Aaron. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't worry. We're working things out with Aaron. It's the media who's running with this and spinning this out of control. We're actually good. We're just negotiating a contract. Standard, everyday NFL business.
Yes, McLovin.
You know what the problem is? It's this history that they've had two quarterbacks since 1993 that they... Do you think they thought, hey, we did this with Aaron and Brett and it worked out perfectly? They must have thought that when they drafted Jordan Love.
I I'll go back to what I said. They bet against Aaron Rodgers because he had, what, 25 touchdowns, 26 touchdowns, back-to-back seasons. Those are off years for him. And they're probably thinking, if he has another one of these, we can probably get out from underneath this. And then we make, you know, pave the way for Jordan Love. Now, is Jordan Love ready this year? Probably not. We're not going to know until the following year. But they were betting against Aaron Rodgers, it feels like. Because if you knew that he was going to... If I said to the Packers, Rodgers is going to be the MVP, by the way, would they have taken Jordan Love? I'm going to say no, you wouldn't have. We'll take a break. I don't know what we accomplished, but it feels like I know less than I did a week ago at this time. We'll come up with a poll question, got our play of the day, stat of the day. Your phone calls are always welcome. And we'll take a break. It's 22 after the hour, Dan Patrick Show. You want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year, and they do that automatically. There's no limit on how much you can earn. How amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing because of all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of the places in the United States that take credit cards take Discover. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing the word yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. Discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report limitations apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. This program brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. They go far beyond from their customization options, cutting-edge tech, five-star sales service, financial support crew. Mercedes-Benz Vans, built, equipped, engineered to be ready for anything. Go the extra mile, taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. A week in this business, where there's a story like this, and then the kind of the ebbs and flows of what happens with information, speculation, rumor, innuendo with Aaron Rodgers. And as we sit here today at 9:28 Eastern time, I don't know anything more than I did last week, it feels like. But it feels like less of a big story. It doesn't mean the Packers aren't trying to trade him or he doesn't want out. It doesn't feel like it's immediate, it's imminent. And that's what it felt like a week ago. And maybe it's irreparable. Now, last week it felt that way. It doesn't feel that way to me. And I could be completely off base with this, because I'm just going on gut feeling and instinct and what I'm hearing from both sides, or what I'm not hearing right now from either side. These things have a way of working themselves out. There are times when you go, oh, there's no way that these two can coexist. And maybe that's the case. I just get the feeling that this might not be as big today as it was a week ago. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle at dpshow. McLovin, do the honors with a poll question.
Well, actually, I want to turn to Paulie, because he said he had a would-you-rather career question that I'm dying to hear.
Ooh. Albert Pujols got released by the Angels, and I guess the question I would have would be, did you know that Albert Pujols was still playing? Non-Angels fans, you might not realize that Albert Pujols was still in baseball. But when you're not in the postseason, he had this unbelievable run with the Cardinals. I mean, he had a 10-year run that would rival any player in the history of the sport. But it's the next 10 years, and this was the cautionary tale. When you sign somebody to a 10-year deal and they're 31 at the time, that's why you're seeing teams sign these players to these long-term contracts when they're much younger. Don't sign anybody to a long-term deal. Late 20s, early 30s. You know, when you're 24 and you want to give somebody a, 12-year deal, okay. I'd like to have a little more sample size. I think Tatis probably got, with fewer games played, you know, the contract, if you look at the you're trying to ratio that. I mean, I think he's a lot of fun, but, would I like to see more than, 200 games? I would, But, you know, you take that risk there. Which I don't know why you have to sign him up for that amount of time. And, you know, maybe you look at it and you go, okay, eventually this is going to be a good deal for us or both sides here. And maybe it will be. You know, maybe the Phillies with Bryce Harper, that'll be a bargain. Maybe Mike Trout, going to be a bargain there. But there are the other guys, the cautionary tales, where you go, God, they're still paying that guy. And that's where you have to be nervous. And what position do you play when you're handing out those contracts as well? I mean, Pujols was a DH and a first baseman. Probably not many chances to get injured. But he didn't do anything the second half of his career. And he was really competing against the first half of his career. But Pujols is a first ballot Hall of Famer. You know, incredible numbers there. Yeah, Paul.
Here's the poll. This is, I think, a tougher one than it appears.
All right.
I compare sometimes Albert Pujols' career to Ken Griffey Jr.'s career. The first 10 years are first ballot,
yep,
like where you don't even question. The second 10 years are good, definitely not great. I think Pujols had one All-Star appearance in his second 10 years.
Yep.
Griffey Jr., I think, had two All-Star appearances in his second 10 years. Whose career would you want? Think of the player, the perception, the numbers.
Now, also understand that Junior got hurt a lot. Pujols, I think, had, you know, one, like his second season in Anaheim, plantar fasciitis. Yeah, McLevin.
Yeah, he tore his plantar fasciitis in 2013, but he never really got back to the old Pujols.
Yeah. I would rather be Ken Griffey Jr. Even though Pujols has probably got better numbers here, I think when people hear Ken Griffey Jr., like, you have a different... He almost brings a smile to your face the way he played.
Would it be comparable to taking Vince Carter's career over a better stat player? Like, Vince Carter was entertainment. Ken Griffey Jr. was entertainment. And Carter had kind of two careers. He had the high-flying 20s and then the spot-up three-point nice jumper.
Yeah, Seton.
Ken Griffey Jr. was an icon for a little while. Yeah. At least that's the way it felt to me growing up. Like, he was a kid that a guy that I really looked up to as a kid. He had that swing and the backwards hat, and he was a little, the backwards hat then caused a little bit of hysteria, so he was sort of polarizing in that way. But Albert Pujols probably made twice as much money, if not more, and has two World Series. That, to me, is worth a lot.
So you'd rather be Albert Pujols?
I don't know if I would, actually.
Griffey never appeared in a World Series. Yeah, McLevin.
I think you got to put into timing context, because Griffey saved baseball after the strike. He was before the steroid era. And Pujols, nobody cared about sluggers after Barry Bonds. So Pujols was not as big a deal. Like, nobody, like Seton said, nobody like looked at him as an icon.
He just became the face of baseball in St. Louis, one of the great baseball towns in America. Three MVPs, top five for the MVP 10 times, 9 All-Star game. This is all with St. Louis. And they paid $95 million for all of those numbers. And then after that, the 10 seasons with the Angels. And I remember when he signed. And at the time, I said, Artie Moreno is rolling the dice. Can he win one world? If you win one world title, then you could probably validate this. But if you don't, then it's going to be a terrible contract. And it turned out to be one of the worst contracts in baseball history. Yeah, Paul.
I'm looking at Griffey when he was in his prime, 27, 28, 29, right before he got injured. 56 homers, 48 homers, stealing 25 bases a year, gold glove. Like, there's no weaknesses in his game. He hit for average. He hit every single thing.
Yeah, he was a better all-around player, but Pujols' hitting numbers are crazy. Crazy great. Historically great. Yeah, Seton.
But you know how people make a big deal out of Tom Brady being drafted in the 6th round?
Yeah.
Albert Pujols was taken in the 13th round.
Yeah.
That's got to be one of the greatest underdog stories of all time, that one of the greatest sluggers of a generation, maybe the greatest hitters of all time, went 13 rounds.
Yeah.
Well, took them 13 rounds to draft that guy.
But didn't Mike...
That's something.
Didn't Mike Piazza go 61st round? I think he's probably the lowest drafted Hall of Famer in baseball history. Yeah,
was that because he was somebody's cousin, like Lasorda?
Tommy Lasorda.
Yeah. Otherwise, he wouldn't have even been drafted.
Godson.
Then.
Yeah. I mean, I think he just did it as a favor to Mike's dad. that Tommy knew. And, you know, I think 62nd round, 61st round. Yeah, Paul.
Griffey was the number one overall pick of the 87 draft, yeah. And he played at age 19 in the minors. What do you think he was like a year earlier at playing high school ball in Cincinnati against Jimmy Lipper throwing 76?
Well, he was also a great football player as well. Great wide receiver. But, yeah, and growing up in outside of Cincinnati, we were aware of Ken Griffey Jr. because of Ken Griffey Sr. And I remember people saying, if you think Ken Griffey Sr. is good, wait till his son comes up. And they were right. But, yeah, Albert Pujols, first ballot Hall of Famer, just the last 10 years, out of sight, out of mind. You're not playing in playoff games. Prior to that, you were competing, World Series, winning World Series titles, being an MVP, being in the All-Star game, and that's it. All right. What other poll question suggestions you got, McLovin?
Okay. I could save this for later in the show, but this is a poll question suggestion, and it's a plea for personal advice.
Plea for personal advice.
Okay. You guys know Sunday is Mother's Day. At some point of the show, I need advice on what to get because I'm starting to think flowers are not a good gift. I heard a podcast on this that flowers are a waste of money and mothers want something completely different. I don't want to disrupt the sports here, but I need help.
Wow. Paulie?
Here, listen very closely to what I'm saying, especially anyone who's a young married guy out there with a wife, with kids. Card. You must get a card. Everything is based off having a card given to her with something sentimental. Don't be funny and cute. Mm-hmm. Cards can be sentimental. A present. Not flowers, but a present. Mm. And then a meal that you pay for and take her out to. Okay. If you do those three things, you're set for Mother's Day.
All right. Yeah, Seton?
Right. I would agree with a lot of that, although I tend to think that card and flowers is the entry. Card and flowers is mandatory. As then is also the gift.
Mm, okay.
But that's basic level.
Okay. Yes, Todd.
I sent flowers to my mom and my mother-in-law, but I think at the very least, that Mother's Day brunch, there's got to be some other things involved, even if you're not going with a fancy gift. But, they want you to probably do something, or not that they expect it, but it's right to do something more than the common flowers.
You would be the last person I would listen to.
Why is that?
Yeah, because I don't think you're dialed in. Yeah, Paul.
I'm going to disagree with you, and I'm going to back the toddler. Toddler doesn't like doing anything for anybody, like physically. Like Todd would not go cut the lawn or make up the house at a special treat, but he would send his wife on an expensive spa day and open the wallet. My sources tell me Todd's done this before for Mother's Day. Todd will pay for the experience to make his wife's Mother's Day great, but he won't do dishes.
That is very true. And she gets the peace and quiet, and she got, that spa day that she loves stuff like that. You get your pampered and everything, and I get to sit on the couch and watch the basketball game or whatever. Everybody
wins. And you get to leave her alone.
And she wants to be left alone. Yes. So everybody's everybody's just thrilled.
Okay. Yeah, McLovin. I don't know if that helped you.
No, I have this one gift idea. I think it's really bad. I had heard a suggestion to buy a subscription to a Book of the Month club. That is as unromantic as you get, but I thought that was kind of clever. It's too heavy, right? Like, that's not what a mother wants.
I think if you cook a meal, like they like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cook and clean up. Like, you just say, hey, I got it. She comes home, I got it. You're gonna make a meal. My wife doesn't care what it tastes like. She does it. And she'll say, this is really good. And I go, no, it's not. Like, I know it's not good, but she'll say it because she wants you to not be intimidated. And, it's going to be a one and done. It's going to be a well done is what it's going to be. Yes, McLovin.
All right. I feel good now. I feel like I'm in a good place.
I think if you do that, you do flowers, card, and you make a meal, that's big.
Like a brunch.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And even if you buy her a book that you're thinking of her. If you buy the Book of the Month Club, then you're not really thinking of her with one particular book.
Right, and then you're getting into the gift card territory. Like, when is a gift card okay?
Yeah, I don't... Gift card. They don't like gift cards.
But they do, in a sense, they don't want you choosing clothes or anything like that.
Well, no, don't do that. But I'm saying, if you go out and say, I thought you would look great in this, they love that.
And a gift receipt.
Yeah. Just in case she needs to take it back. Yes, Todd?
Full disclosure, and I shouldn't admit this because I'm inviting getting killed here, but my wife was online the other day, and she all of a sudden she's asking me a question if I prefer waffles or pancakes, and she's asking about different foods. Turns out she has ordered herself a Mother's Day brunch to be delivered to the house. I may have to pick it up, and she said, as long as you heat it up, which is a whole other story, trying to figure out how to preheat the oven, as long as I heat it up, that counts as like that I did something special.
Oh, God.
But she did order her own Mother's Day brunch. We're not ready to go to the restaurant just yet, so we're going to do it that way.
And with that, we move on. Play of the Day is up next here on The Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Oh my God.
The play. The play's called play of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
They're gonna play it and play it.
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
McCormick's going, the 3-2, and Altuve drives this one deep to left field. It sends back Frazier at the wall, looking up. See you later! Jose Altuve with a go-ahead three-run homer. Astros lead it 5-3.
Courtesy of the Astros Radio Network, KBME, Jose Altuve, three-run homer. First home run against the Yankees since hitting the game winner, bottom of the ninth, game six of the ALCS that sent the Astros to the World Series. That is your play of the day. Play of the day brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. They go far beyond. You'll love how they're built, equipped, engineered, ready for anything. Go the extra mile, taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. Gibbs in Virginia leads us off. Gibbs, what's on your mind today?
Dano, how's it going, crew? Not exactly Atticus Finch weighing in, but when's the last time you heard about Albert Pujols' baseball game? Right? I mean, that's the trump card. It's Ken Griffey Jr. all day. You took the words right out of my mouth, Dan. You absolutely have to fix dinner for your mother or significant other on Mother's Day. Todd, get it together.
All right. Thank you, Gibbs. The fact that your wife is ordering her Mother's Day brunch, Todd, is awesome.
I would say she beat me to it, but I didn't think that far ahead about what a brunch would look like in a couple of days.
But what if there's a drywall emergency in Norfolk and somebody has to return? No, Gibbs is a construction lawyer.
Yeah.
I've been trying to keep that going.
A little too.
Yeah, but this has become a me and Gibbs thing. No one cares.
How about you guys talk off the air? James in North Carolina. Hi, James. What's on your mind?
6 foot of beefy 250.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm trying to save McLovin. There's some awful advice from the front row. It's just it's terrible. Do what you said. You cook the meal. You're the maitre d'. Do a brunch. Just service them. Be there for them all day. That's all you need. You don't need a card from some nerd in a cubicle.
All right. Thank you, James. Speaking from experience, apparently. Yes, Paul.
I have mixed feelings about that. If you're not that great of a cook, the cuteness of the effort to make your wife dinner or a brunch may go away fast when the meal's horrid.
Paulie, I can tell you.
Yeah. Well, you know what you're doing, though.
I've been married 33 years. If they come home and you've got that meal, you're cooking it. That alone, that's. And I have just boxer shorts too. I mean, that's all I got.
Forgot to mention that.
You left out the best part.
Yeah, clothing is optional.
Splatter. You need a splatter guard.
Yeah, I do.
A big one.
Yeah. I learned the hard way. Yes, Seton.
And making brunch is a little more safe than dinner.
Yeah.
Because brunch, if you mess that up, at least you could still have a good dinner. If you mess up dinner, you're ending the night that way. And it's like, great, everybody's hungry. Don't worry. We got some crackers and cheese we could fill up on or something. Because go with the brunch. You want to go midday if you're going to cook something.
You have a glass of wine poured for them. Maybe you ask Alexa to put on some good music that she likes. And then you just cook. And then you say, hun, I got it. I'll let you know when it's right. Like, you don't want it ready when she comes in. You want to give her that opportunity to, like, go away, then come back. And the fact that you're laboring over this. Yeah, Pauline.
What's your policy on asking your wife what she wants for Mother's Day? Like, I once did this probably about 6 years ago. And my wife, she had a long day at work. She goes, I want you to figure it out. And then, you know, it was one of those, like, long days. Or you don't ask. Do you just do it?
Well, I have three daughters, and two of them, I respect their opinions on these kind of things. The youngest one, she would have no. She'd be like, get her a kitten. No, I'm not getting her a kitten. Nope, not going to do that. Yes, Todd.
I like the surprise factor, but you do run the risk of getting something that they don't want. It's almost like, you know, giving them like a gift card if they're going to just pick it out for themselves. You know, I think you gamble when you try to get them something you think they want as opposed to them just tell me and then I'll buy it. Especially because you guys share the money anyway. It doesn't. I don't know.
Did you get your wife a gift?
Her birthday is coming up in a week from Mother's Day, so I went double the. I guess expenditure, for lack of a better word. I went wild on the, because it's a milestone birthday, so it's going to be a combined Mother's Day birthday. So she may get like a little Carvel cake, Happy Mother's Day, the brunch which she ordered and asked me what foods I want included in the brunch, and there may be some flowers involved. But the birthday will be the bigger one for us.
Okay.
Back to you in the studio.
Thank you, Todd. I wish you well.
Thank you. He's really going to like the birthday gift. Hopefully that'll be a good combo platter.
Yeah, see.
I feel like Todd should go, he doesn't have to take this advice at all, and maybe I shouldn't weigh in on it. I feel like Todd should go big on Mother's Day and light on the birthday. Understanding that a big gift like that is kind of a birthday thing, but you're doing it early, rather than like, well, you blew off Mother's Day, but at least you rallied for my birthday.
That's a thought, because she's thinking, because she knows I got her something nice for her birthday, but maybe it's more of a surprise because she's not expecting it this Sunday as opposed to the following week.
So Seton's saying start your closer in the first inning like the Rays do.
Right. Because I have a similar situation where there's like Valentine's Day, like another sort of holiday, and then my wife's birthday all in 1 week. And we celebrate each of those, and you kind of have to space it out. But you want to go bigger up front rather than light.
That's what she said. and didn't you blew the surprise for my wife.
I sure did.
When I got her the Airstream.
Yeah, I put an ad out in the Hartford Courant. I just made sure that she was going to find out.
I tell Todd, and I go, hey, this is a surprise, but this is what I'm doing. Come on the air and... 8 minutes later, and Todd's like, yeah, and you got your wife that Airstream. And I go, like, what are you doing?
And I had that helicopter fly above your house with the banner that said what was coming. I blew it.
1 hour in the books. Two more to go. Close out first hour with Sleep Number. Imagine having this much energy. You can have the same energy I have. And at my age, people are probably going to donate my body to science just to learn more about it. How did he do it? And I'll start by saying, well, my bed, my Sleep Number. My Sleep Number setting is 100, by the way. You get physical energy with a great night's sleep, positive mood, even with all Fritzy's nonsense. I'm in a positive mood. Creativity and memory, yes, it's all coming back. Physical recovery, sleep helps us recover faster from exercise and injuries and illnesses. Deep sleep decreases anxiety overnight. Mental well-being. Get almost 100 hours more proven quality sleep per year with a Sleep Number 360 smart bed. You can also ask about the Sleep IQ. How do I get my Sleep Number? There's so many questions. Proven quality sleep, life-changing sleep, Sleep Number 360 smart beds. Save up to $1,200 only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com/Patrick.